الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace and send His salutations and His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We continue our discussion on the etiquettes of eating and food and drink and so on and so forth. Specifically the statement which is almost a new chapter or sub-chapter where the Shaykh said rahimahullah وَيُسْتَحَبُّ تَقْدِيمُ الطَّعَامِ إِلَى الْإِخْوَانِ رُوِيَ ذَلِكَ عَنْ عَلِيٍّ رضي الله عنه أنه قال لَأَنْ أَجْمَعَ إِخْوَانِي عَلَى صَاعٍ مِنْ طَعَامٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتِقَ رَقَبَهُ. And it is recommended to provide food for the brothers. And it was narrated that Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, for me to gather my brothers over a plate of food or a particular amount of food, sa'. You all know what the sa' is, right? How much, how many liters of food are in a sa'? Three liters? Good, mashallah. Actually 3 liters of food, not 3 kilos. Because there's a difference between weight and volume. Sa', it measures volume. We skipped the chapter? No, we didn't. Huh? Oh yeah, mashallah. Okay, yeah, فما يزيد. Okay, now, جزاك الله خير. شعيب, without you, man, we'd suffer. So we, I guess we're in a rush. Nevertheless, let's finish the point. The sa' has how many mud? Four. صح? There are four mud, right, in a sa'. And each mud is equivalent to the average man's two hands. So if you put your two hands together in a container and you take out food, the volume, not the weight, the volume is a mud. Four of these will make a sa'. So technically, the average sized man, the two hands are 0.75 liters. So that's for one mud. Times four, that's 3 liters. Of course, that makes a difference in zakat al-fitr. Even though the scholars, to facilitate it for the people, they've given us the equivalent of that in kilos, zam la khair, which is fine. But if you really want to be accurate, then you would buy a liter kind of bucket, and then you fill up 3 of those, and that would be the sa' for you. Then if you have a family of 5 people, then you would be doing that with 15 liters, and so on and so forth. Ala kulli hal, going back to where we're supposed to be. فصل فيما يزيد من الأداب بسبب الاجتماع والمشاركة في الأكل. Other etiquettes pertaining to gathering regarding food. من ذلك ألا يبتدئ في الأكل إذا كان معه من يستحق التقدم لكبر سن أو زيادة فضل إلا أن يكون هو المتبوع. For example, you do not begin eating if there's someone who is more deserving in the gathering, either because of older age or someone who's more virtuous. So if you're sitting in a gathering, you let those who are of a higher caliber than yourself begin the food. There's someone older, then you respect the elderly. كبير السن له حق, he has the right. Or someone who could be a alim, بزيادة فضل, he's virtuous, more virtuous than another person. ومنها ألا يسكتوا على الطعام. It is not recommended that you remain silent during food consumption, which is the opinion of some, that you know they say you shouldn't speak while eating, and perhaps they mean by that you shouldn't speak with your mouth open while food is in there. That we agree to, but the whole idea that you should be like a funeral during food, we need an evidence for that. بل يتكلمون بالمعروف ويتحدثون بحكايات الصالحين في الأطعمة وغيرها. Rather they should speak of that which is good, or narrate the stories of the righteous people, or other things which are beneficial.
ومن ذلك أن يقصد كل منهما الإثارة لرفيقه.
Yeah, this one we need to learn. That each one should intend to favor his companion, which is the opposite of what we do today. Now it's like, hey, this one, get your hand off. This piece is mine, huh? Don't eat from this area. This is my favorite. This is us. It's supposed to be that you favor your brother. Who remembers what the word ithar means? I think we must have said this like tens of times. If no one answers, I'm going to be disappointed. And who cares if I'm disappointed? But just for the record, yani. Ithar. We've said that there are some words which you can translate using a whole sentence. But very often there's one English word that's actually equivalent to that Arabic term, which we usually don't know. However, if we do know it, it's a plus for the da'wah. And if you're addressing non-Muslims and you use this term, you will save a lot of talking. You'll get straight to the point. And that word is usually more accurate than a whole sentence. So يؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة, for example. We know this ayah. How do you translate يؤثرون? Or even better, إيثار. إيثار. Anyone knows? It begins with the letter A. The sentence is, they favor others over themselves. That's the sentence. Hello? إيثار is favoring others over yourself. But that's a sentence. There's a word for that in English. I guess no one knows. Altruism. You remember? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. We have a winner here. There's nothing to give you, brother. BarakAllah feek. Except saying, JazakAllah khairan. Altruism. A-L-T-R-U-I-S-M. Altruism is that concept of favoring others over yourself. And the person who is characterized with this quality is called an altruist. An altruist is someone who always gives others before himself. Hopefully next time we ask, inshallah, half of the people will give an answer. وَلَا يُحَوِّجْ رَفِيقَهُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُلْ بَلْ يَنْبَصِدْ وَلَا يَتَصَنَّعْ بِالْإِنْقِبَاضِ. And he shouldn't wait for his friend to force him to eat. He should just relax and, you know, does not, you know, shouldn't withhold. وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ أَلَّا يَنْظُرَ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِهِ حَالَةَ الْأَكْلِ لِأَلَّا يَسْتَحْيُوا. And also he shouldn't look at his friends while they're eating so they won't feel shy. Of course some people don't care. Right? Whether 10 people are looking at them or no one looking at them, nothing will make them shy. Food is food. When it's time to eat food, nothing will stop them. Some people actually feel shy. If they see you looking at them the whole time, they will stop eating. So be mindful of those, if they exist. وَمِن ذَلِكَ أَلَّا يَفْعَلَ مَا يَسْتَقْذِرُهُ مِنْ غَيْرِهِ. Don't do something which يعني, you are disgusted by. If you are disgusted by something, don't do it to others. And from among the major issues we have in this regard, just to give you an example, is the misapplication of the sunnah of licking the fingers. Many people want to apply the sunnah of licking the fingers, however they do it in the middle of the meal, while you share in the same plate. So he eats and then he licks his fingers and he puts it back into the food. Ya Sheikh, khalas. يعني what? I have to share your saliva with the food, come on. You do this at the end, ya muhandis. After you're done with everything and you're done eating, you're about to go wash your hand or wipe it with the tissue. We say, yeah, the sunnah is to lick your fingers. But we don't have to deal with it afterwards. You don't lick your fingers every 3 seconds, then put it back in the food and keep licking your fingers, because no one will eat afterwards. So if you wouldn't want this to happen to you, don't do it to someone else. Huh? Remember, when to apply the sunnah. فَلَا يَنْفُضُ يَدُهُ فِي الْقِسْعَ. For example, he shouldn't like kind of clean off his hand in the actual plate. وَلَا يُقَدِّمْ إِلَيْهَا رَأْسَهُ عِنْدَ مَوْضِعِ اللُّقْمَةَ فِي فِيهِ. Now that's a technical one. And he shouldn't put his head right over the plate when he is... Now he said, فِي. What is this فِي? Can anyone figure out what this means? What is fi?
Tabfi means in. That's the preposition. طيب and فيه inside
mouth.
فيك your mouth. And فيك could be something that is in you. Right? So من الأسماء الخمسة is أخفو, the mouth. So this is just added to your vocabulary. على كل حال, don't put your head over there. وَإِذَا أَخْرَجَ شَيْئًا مِنْ فِيهِ لِيَرْمِي بِهِ. And if something, if you take out something out of your mouth, throw it away. صَرَفَ وَجَّهُ عَنِ الطَّعَامُ وَأَخَذَهُ بِيَسَارِهِ. He should turn away from the plate and he should get rid of it with his left hand. وَلَا يُغَمِّسُ اللُّقْمَ الدَّسِمَ أَوْ الدَّسْمَ فِي الْخَلَّ. الدَّسِمَ فِي الْخَلَّ. Anyways, don't dip. Here is dealing with the etiquette of dipping. Don't dip something which may be fatty itself in vinegar, for example. وَلَا الْخَلْفِ الدَّسِمَ. And don't dip something which has vinegar in another, in fat. In other words, some things, if you dip another kind of food in it, it will ruin that dip itself. Okay, there are certain dips like olive oil. When you eat olive oil, you can put bread in the olive oil and then eat the bread. Or in vinegar, there's no problem. But if you bring something else which itself is liquid and you put it in the olive oil, it will ruin the olive oil. Or vice versa. So be considerate that you don't ruin the food or the dip which everybody is sharing. فَقَدْ يَكْرَهُ غَيْرُ. Others may dislike that. وَلَا يُغَمِّسُ بَقِيَّةَ اللُّقْمَ الَّتِي أَكَلَ مِنْهَا فِي الْمَرْقَانِ. And do not, يعني if you ate, took a bite from something, like you have a bread, and you put some food in tamiz. Let's give an example we can relate to. Okay, so you have the bread, and you put some food on it. And then you took a bite, but the bread was too big. However, you bit from that piece of bread. Don't go put the same bread back in the food. Okay, you have to eat the bread by itself. Or you bring a spoon and you put the food on that bread and then you eat it. But don't dip it back into the plate because it went in your mouth already. Al-Muhim, sorry for all these examples. He said, Fasl, now here's the point which we already discussed. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ تَقْدِيمُ الطَّعَامِ لَلْأُخْوَانِ. It's recommended that you provide food for others. And what we narrated from Ali. وَكَانَ خَيْثَمَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ يَصْنَعُ الْخَبِيصُ وَالطَّعَامُ الطَّيِّمُ. فَيَدْعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَالْأَعْمَشُ وَيَقُولُ كُلُوا مَا صَنَعْتَهُ إِلَّا لَكُمْ. A person by the name of Khaythama rahimahullah used to make, now the irony is it's called khabis, right? And in slang language, khabis and takhbis is like some real mix, yani. When you khabbas, yani, you don't know what you're doing, you put everything together. So I'm guessing this khabis must be some beans with lentils with Allahu alam what's in it. Anyways, he would make all this kind of funky food, huh, and delicious food, and he will invite a couple of the ulama back then, Ibrahim and Al-A'mash, and he will tell them, eat, I've only made this for you. I've only made this for you. وَيُقَدِّمُ مَا حَضَرَ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَكَلُّفِ. And provide, offer the people whatever you have without going to extremes. Without going to extremes in preparation. وَلَا يَسْتَأْذِنُهُمْ فِي التَّقْدِيمِ. And you shouldn't, and this is a problem which we have, if you live, I guess, in the West for some time, you pick up on some of these Western habits, which is everything is by offer. Would you like some water? Say yes. Well, here's a fridge, help yourself. Right? This is the Western way of doing things. Help yourself. You're at home. If this is the epitome of hospitality, this is your house, help, feel free. Still, you will feel shy to get up and open someone's fridge and get some juice. يعني. It's not really easy. But culturally, it's acceptable. In the other cultures, whether Arabs or even non-Arabs, in the other cultures, even subcontinents, it's a little different. It's more like, here's the food and you better eat, you know, and ta'asha and things like, there's more pressure on you. And so they make sure that you don't have to ask. It is offered. So the Shaykh is saying that, you know, you shouldn't seek permission before you provide food. Would you like some dates? Most likely the person will say, no, thank you. Even though he really wants some dates. It's a tough question. Now they say there's a method. يعني they say what البخيل what شو إذا واحد سألك يعني ما يبغى يعطيك. مين يعرف المثل؟ في مثل شعبي كده. المشاور بخيل. I will see something along these lines. The one who basically negotiates with you if you want something is stingy. He's hoping you will say no. But he's just trying to be nice, yani, to get it out of the way. You want something? No, alhamdulillah. Let's move on. What's the next thing? He don't want to give you something. But anyways, I don't think it's valid. It could be like a cultural thing. That this is what you used to, and you don't really mean to be stingy. You want to give, yani. It's not really right. بَلْ يُقَدِّمْ مِنْ غَيْرِ استئذان. You should just offer the food without any permission. وَمِنَ التَّكَلُّفِ أَنْ يُقَدِّمَ جَمِيعَ مَا عَنْدَهُ. And it is extreme, or you know, troubling yourself to offer everything you have. Yani all the food which you have, you give it for the guests, and then you leave your family starving. Now, in regards to the visitor, we were speaking about the host. The visitor, وَمِنْ أَدَابِ الزَّائِرِ أَلَّا يَقْتَرِحَ طَعَامًا بِعَيْنِهِ. That would be really nice. From the etiquettes of the visitor is that he does not, yani, suggest a particular food. And he comes in and says, chicken, barakallah fi. So does it look like a restaurant over here? We don't have chicken, we only have kebab. Lahm. Wallah abadan. Dajaj aw amshi. طيب فضل هذا الباب. المهم وإن خير بين طعامين اختار أيسرهما. And if he's ever given a choice between two foods, you choose the one which is easier. إلا أن يعلم أن مضيفه يسر باقتراحه أو يسر باقتراحه. Unless you know that your guest tells you, look, we have some food in the kitchen, or we can order food from the restaurant next door. Go for the easy one. Unless you know that he likes you so much that if you were to tell him let's get from next door, it would make him happy. That you were honest with him. In which case you tell him, okay, let's get it from next door. But if you don't know him enough, or you worry that may be troubling, go for the easy. Say, no, whatever you have in the kitchen is fine. Don't trouble yourself. Don't go out of your way in preparation. How did I get here? نعم. إلا أن يأيوا ولا يقصروا عن تحصيل ذلك. And don't have any shortcomings in providing that. فقد نزل الشافعي رحمه الله على الزعفراني وكان الزعفراني يكتب كل يوم رقعة بما يطبخ من الألوان ويسلمها إلى الجارية فأخذ الشافعي الرقعة وألحق فيها لونا آخر فلما علم الزعفراني اشتد فرحه. This is an incident that happened according to him between Imam Shafi'i and another sheikh. Is that sheikh had a jariya, a slave girl, and he would write for her the types of food he would want her to make. So one time, Imam Shafi'i took that same piece of paper that had the types of food, and he added, lawn here doesn't mean color, it means another variety of food. He added one. So when Zafarani knew that Imam Shafi'i added something to the list, he was very happy that the Imam himself got involved. Because of that nature between them. Again, it depends on how well you know the person. You can, many of these restrictions and etiquettes are actually done away with when you are with people that you know enough, where all these barriers are broken. Khalas, you know the person enough that there's ease and facilitation. You don't have to go through all the formalities. These are called formalities. Now we should have minimum requirement of that, of course. But sometimes, you know, your friend is he knows you enough that you can just cut through the chase. He said, "فصلٌ ولا ينبغي لأحد إذا علم أن قوما يأكلون أن يدخل عليهم." And yeah, how am I going to do that one? It is not, it's not really decent, or it's not recommended for anyone who knows that a group of people are eating to enter upon them. If you know they're eating, you should not just enter upon them. فَإِنْ صَادَفَهُمْ مِنْ غَيْرِ قَصْدٍ. But if he, however, enters, he happens to coincidentally run into them without intentionally doing so. Because some people know, you know, where are they? They're eating. Okay, let me go see the brothers right now. That's when he wants to visit the brothers. Salaam alaikum, brothers. How's it going? And he's looking at all the types of food, thinking where he's going to sit next. Huh? The one with the biggest plate, he becomes his best friend for that 10-15 minutes. Ah, brother, mashallah, so good to see you here. Psht. He sits next to him because this is where there's the most food. Aywa. Some people are laughing like, how did he know? don't worry. Al-Muhim, he said, فَإِنْ صَدَفَهُمْ مِنْ غَيْرِ قَصْدْ فَسَلُوهُ الْأَكِلْ نَظَرًا فَإِنْ عَلِمَ أَنَّهُمْ سَأَلُوهُ أَنَّهُمْ إِنَّمَا سَأَلُوهُ حَيَاءً مِنْهِ فَلَا يَأْكُلْ. If he coincidentally ran into them, and he said, تفضل, he should reflect. Are they asking me out of
shyness, يعني they were cornered, and عيب, يعني they're gonna eat and leave me standing. If he feels that they're only offering him to sit out of modesty, he shouldn't sit. فلا يأكل, don't eat. Say جزاكم الله خير, enjoy yourself. I just came to see you, and keep moving. Don't sit down and eat. وإن علم أنهم يحبون أكله معهم جاز له أن يأكل. But if he knows that they would love him to eat with them, then he can sit down and eat, provided that they know that, you know, they really mean it. They're happy to see him. لا والله تجلس إلا وما تروح. يعني you can tell by the people's reaction. If they say, would you like to eat? You say no. Say okay, good. Continue eating. You know that they were happy that you didn't sit down. ومن دخل دار صديقه فلم يجده وكان واثقا به عالما أنه إذا أكل من طعامه سر بذلك جاز له أن يأكل. And if you enter your friend's home and you know with certainty that if you were to eat from his food he would be happy, then it's permissible for you to eat without even his permission. And you can, this is valid. يعني there are certain people you know well enough that you say, يا أخي, I came, barakallah feek, and I ate. You say, alhamdulillah, I'm happy that you ate, wallah. يعني there's such relationship, you don't even have to ask. And the scholars, by the way, they say the same thing in regards to other things as well. It doesn't only have to be food. You can use someone's property, provided that you know him well enough, and you know that he will not be upset that you used it. He will not be upset that you used it. This obviously does not apply to the shipship, which you put outside when you enter into this masjid. 90% of people do not want you to use their shipship, in all honesty, because it's something that is personal to their feet. And if they wanted it to be a public shipship for everyone to be using, they would have left it somewhere near the bathroom. So the person who comes with the shoes, then he, but this sick habit, which we should stop, honestly, it's a very bad habit. To come with your own shoes and socks, take them off, and then look in the racks or on the floor for someone else's slippers that look like they are wudu made, yani. The special ones for hammam. They're made, you know, maybe they're not shoes. They just put them on and go to the hammam, stand 5, 10, 15 minutes. Sometimes they're late for the salah. You go out looking for your shoes, you don't find your shoes. Then you see someone walking from the hammam with your shoes. And they're all wet and everything, and you're wearing socks. This happens every time, you're wearing socks. You could be wearing socks and slippers. Now what you're gonna do? Your shoes are full of water. And mind you, honestly, stinky water, because it's feet. And now you have to deal with your shoes being ruined by a brother who doesn't care. This is, يعني, there's nothing from the sunnah which support that, because this brother is anonymous. And on what basis are you using another Muslim's property without his concession, without his approval? If you know him personally and you know he doesn't mind, tawakkal ala Allah. But the asal is, this is not something that the people would love to share. And if they did, you have to know that they love to share it. So then, from now on, please be, you know, we remind the people, and we should be mindful of that. You know, do whatever it takes to use your own shoes. Keep a pair of slippers in the car, or wipe over your socks, which is the better thing. That's the sunnah. If you are a person who wears socks and shoes, the sunnah is that you don't take them off for wudu, provided that you put them on in a state of tahara. Because when the sahabi wanted to take off the khuf, the leather socks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, leave them. I have put them on in the state of tahara. So the scholars understood from this that if you have your socks on, the sunnah is that you don't take them off. And if you don't have them on, then obviously the sunnah is that you wash your feet. And so each time has a particular situation. المهم فصل ومن أداب الضيافة أن يقصد بدعوته الأتقياء دون الفساق. From the etiquettes of hospitality is that you intend with your invitation the righteous people and not the wicked people. Not the wicked people. وقال بعض السلف لا تأكل إلا طعام تقي ولا يأكل طعامك إلا تقي. Some of the Salaf used to say,
Do not eat except the food of a righteous person, and do not let anyone eat your food except a righteous person. Of course, there's a hadith to this effect. There's a hadith to this effect that you shouldn't let anyone, you shouldn't bring anyone, invite anyone to food except a person who fears Allah Azza wa Jalla, except the righteous people. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَقْصُدَ الْفُقَرَاءَ دُونَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ وَيَنْبَغِي أَلَّا يُهْمِلَ أَقَارِبَهُ فِي ضِيَافَتِهِمْ. And you should also seek the poor people, not only the rich people. And you should look after your family, your relatives, and inviting them as well. فَإِنَّ إِهْمَالَهُمْ يُوجِبُ الْإِحَاشُ وَقَطِيعَةِ الرَّحِمِ. Because ignoring them will cause a form of separation, or they will be like this kind of discomfort amongst you, and it's a form of severing the kinship ties. وكذلك يراعى الترتيب في أصدقائه ومعارفه. Also take into consideration the hierarchy of friendship. يعني you have people that are very close to you. Take that into consideration who you give the precedence to. ولا يقصد بدعوته المباهات والتفاخر. And he shouldn't seek with this invitation boasting and you know showing off with the invitation. بل استعمال السنة في إطعام الطعام واستمالة قلوب الإخوان. Rather, applying the sunnah in feeding, because from the sunnah is إطعام الطعام, feeding and gaining the hearts of the brothers. وإدخال السرور على قلوب المؤمنين, and bringing joy into the hearts of the believers. ولا يدعو من يعلم أنه تشق عليه الإجابة. And don't invite someone whom you know it's difficult for him to respond. And just so you will, I'll give you a live example. I got an invitation on WhatsApp for nikah. And so, but I didn't find the address. So I replied, said, "Brother, where is the place?" He said, "In India." And so I was like, "Okay, yani, I'm gonna book a ticket and fly to India to attend the wedding, ya Sheikh." Yani, or is it one of these broadcasts? Maybe it's WhatsApp, you know, you broadcast to everybody on the list, whether they are relevant or irrelevant, doesn't matter. As long as everyone comes to the invitation. Ala kulli hal, that would be quite difficult, man. And it really put me in a tough situation. I have to say, "I'm sorry, brother, I can't come to India for the wedding." Yani, avoid putting someone in this corner. Khalas, it's difficult for him to come. Don't make it difficult for him. They make things easy on the people. Then he said, أو إذا حضر تأذى بالحاضرين بسبب من الأسباب. Or don't invite someone who may be harmed by some of those who are present for whatever reason. يعني you may have some people that are a little wild, and you bring a sheikh, and then they may be disrespectful in front of the sheikh or something. Don't bring him into this predicament where he, you know, or invite him to a restaurant where the food maybe not halal, or there's some issue with it where the sheikh now is in a tough situation. He may follow the opinion that you must know how the animal was slaughtered for him to eat. يعني, avoid putting people in this predicament. وأما أداب الإجابة فإن كانت دعوة عرس فالإجابة عليها واجبة إذا دعاه المسلم في اليوم الأول. As for the etiquette of responding to an invitation, if it's a wedding, then it's obligatory to respond, to attend actually. The Muslim has to attend that invitation if it's in the first day. وإن كانت لغيري فهي جائزة. And if it's for other than that, then it is permissible. I don't know what he means by that. ثُمَّ يَنْبَغِي أَلَّا يَخُصَّ الْغَنِي بِالْإِجَابَةِ دُونَ الْفَقِيرِ. And he shouldn't only respond to the invitation of the rich person and ignore the poor person. Because some people only go depending on what's being offered. He gets invited, "What's for dinner?" "Ah, okay, see you there inshallah." Or, "Wallah, I'm busy, brother, I can't really come." Why? It's not his type of food. Or because the person who's inviting may not have enough money to have a fancy 5-star meal, so the person doesn't attend. He only goes to rich people's weddings because that's where he gets to eat. وَلَا يَمْتَنِعْ مِنَ الدَّعْوَ لِكَوْنِهِ صَائِمًا. And if you happen to be fasting, don't also withhold from attending that wedding, that invitation. بَلْ يَحْضُرْ. Rather, you should attend. فَإِنْ كَانَ تَطَوَّعًا وَعَلِمَ أَنَّ فِطْرَهُ يَسُرُّ أَخَاهَ الْمُسْلِمِ فَلْيَفْطِرْ. If you were fasting voluntarily, it's not obligatory, obviously not Ramadan, and you know that you breaking your fast will please the host, break your fast. أما إن كان الطعام حراما فليمتنع من الإجابة. If the food is unlawful, don't even respond. وكذلك إذا كان ثمة فرش محرمة أو إناء محرم أو مزمار أو صورة. الله أكبر. What are you going to do today? Listen to the criteria of the Sheikh. Similarly, if the actual furniture, if there's some haram furniture, or if there's the actual يعني silverware, or the glasses in the thing, محرم, it could be that it is gold or silver, we're not allowed to consume those. أو مزمار, if there's a musical instrument, in other words. أو صورة, or an image. Now, he is obviously not referring to photography through the modern camera, as we know. But when they say surah, the ulama usually mean one of two things, or both. The surah, which is the sanam, the actual idol, statue, sculpture, and the surah, the hand-drawn image. Images which are hand-drawn. Because both existed at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and both were included in the general wording of the prohibition. لعن المصورون, for example. And when the man came to Ibn Abbas and said that, you know, I make a living out of drawing, he said, if it's inevitable, then draw the trees and the stars and so on and so forth. Do not draw ذوات الأرواح. So obviously he wasn't speaking about sculpturing, speaking about drawing. So now, of course, included would be photography, whether it's included or not. I haven't heard of a single scholar who said that it is permissible to hang a picture on the wall. Not one. We know the scholars differed whether taking a picture with the camera falls under the taswir in the general term, which is the sculpturing and the hand drawing. They differed whether this is as haram as the other ones or not even haram at all. But in terms of hanging an image which is printed on a paper, I haven't come across a single scholar who allows it. And sadly, many of those who follow the opinion which allows taking pictures, they go into this other extreme which is not supported scholarly. Which is, they take the picture, okay, fine. You think taking a picture with the camera is halal, not a video. The video is another discussion. You want to take pictures for memory. Okay, you go to Yambu'a, you go somewhere and you go to areas and you want to take pictures for memory. Let's say some of the scholars allowed it. We're not going to go into the discussion. Which one allows you to print it and put it on your wall? I don't know of any. Some of them say digital pictures which are on your phone. Are excluded because it's not really an image, it's a file, and you need to use a different software to display it. Long discussion. But printing them, no. So having a picture of one's daughter who graduated, with no hijab, no. Your picture, Mawlana, on the wall when you graduated, no. Picture of your grandfather, who's the big sheikh of the family, no. And the list goes on. You cannot have pictures hanging on the wall or on a chiffonier, whatever you call it, pictures of the family. الملائكة لا تدخل بيتا فيه صورة أو كلب. The angels do not enter a house in which there's an image or a dog. If one of these two are there, the malaika don't enter. But if the malaika are out, the shayateen are in. And we don't need that. And what is the benefit of these pictures anyways? It's silly. Yani every time you walk by, you're going to look at them. Especially if it's a picture of yourself. Oh, mashallah, what a handsome guy. Khalas, ya boy, stop looking at yourself. And if it's your family and they're alive, look at the live image. And if they're dead, that's even worse. Because it will keep you in the state of grief. And it's a ni'mah from Allah that we forget. If we didn't forget, we will suffer. If you were to think about every deceased family member, you can't live life. Allah decreed that you forget. After 1 week, 2 weeks, you're still sad. But life goes on. So when you have pictures of dead people, you're constantly bringing this memory. It goes against Islam. Because Islam teaches you to say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and move on with your life. Don't get stuck in the past. So you find that these pictures bring absolutely no benefit. Whether it is your picture, or the living family members, or the dead family members. It's all shar ala shar. وَالظُّلُمَاتْ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. So we just need to rid our houses of these images and see how beautiful life can be at home. Try it, it's free. نعم. So أو صورة وكذلك إذا كان الداعي ظالما أو فاسقا أو مبتدعا أو مفخرا بدعوته. Similarly, you should not attend if the invite, the host, is an oppressor or a disobedient person or an innovator or someone who's just showing off with his invitation. وينبغي أن لا يقصد بالإجابة إلى الدعوة نفس الأكل. أيوة. This one is tough. And also, when you go, you should not intend food. يعني when you're going there, because that's what some people be thinking. My main thing is, yeah, Sheikh, it's gonna be some really good stuff. It's wedding, so have a variety of food. Then you have a whole dessert section. Cake and sambusa and Umm Ali and Abu Ali and Ibn Ali and the whole family of sweets and yani. So the person is going there with the niyyah of making up for the last week's suffering of not being able to eat my favorite food. The Sheikh said, don't intend that. بل ينوي به الاقتداء بالسنة. Intend to fulfill the sunnah by responding to the invitation. وإكرام أخيه المؤمن, and to honor your believing brother who invited you. Now if you get to enjoy some food, alhamdulillah, no one is going to tell you don't enjoy the food. But do not make that the target or the objective of the visit. How do you know your niyyah if you arrive there and they tell you that there's no food? You say, wallah, I'm going back home. Ya Sheikh, what did you come for? La wallah abad. Wallah, I will not sit down. How could you do this to me, akhi? I drove all the 45 minutes. So don't tell me there's no food. Wallah, I'm going home. This when you would say something like this, know that you went for the wrong niyyah. If you say, alhamdulillah, ma fi mushkila, I came to see you, ya Sheikh, forget about the food, inshallah, it's good. Huh? But don't wait till you get that far. From before, intend that I'm going for the sunnah. Just to honor my brother and respond to his invitation. And whatever comes of food, inshallah, it's halal. وَيَنْوِي صِيَانَةَ نَفْسِي عَمَّنْ يُسِيءُ بِهِ الظَّنْ. And you intend also by going that you are protecting yourself from evil assumption. يعني someone invites you, don't attend. So they may think, why did he not attend? Am I wrong? Did I do something wrong? Did I insult him? So when you go, intend that you're removing the possibility of someone assuming evil. I come, you invite me, I come. Akhi, I have no problem. Because some people think, how come he didn't come? What is the reason why you did not come? They may think that you have a reason which is a problem with them, problematic to them. No. فَرُبَّمَا قِيلَ عَنْهُ إِذَا امْتَنَعَ هَذَا مُتَكَبِّرٌ. Example, they may say, he's arrogant. Now we invite him, he never comes. He's too arrogant to come. So, you know, dispel this kind of evil assumption by actually going. We have two more sentences and we're done. I see you looking at the clock, ya Shu'aib. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَتَوَاضَعَ فِي مَجْلِسِهِ إِذَا حَضَرَ. And he should be humble in his majlis when he sits down. وَلَا يَتَصَدَّرْ. And he should not sit in the middle of the gathering as if, you know, he's the center of attention. وَإِنْ عِينَ لَهُ صَاحِبُ الدَّارِ أَوْ إِنْ عَيَّنَ لَهُ صَاحِبُ الدَّارِ مَكَانًا لَمْ يَتَعَدَّهُ. And if the host chose a place for you, don't go beyond it. يعني you come, he says, تفضل بارك الله فيك, there's a place there. Don't go, no, I will sit here, no, I will sit over there. Go where he tells you to go. وَلَا يُكْثِرُ النَّظَرِ إِلَى الْمَكَانِ الَّذِي يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الطَّعَامِ فَإِنَّهُ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى الشَّرَ. And he should not, because look, when you know, the food comes from a location, right? There's a hallway. Don't keep looking over there, he said. Huh? He's talking to you like, yes, brother. What were you saying? Every time someone brings food, oh, this for the woman's section? Okay. طيب خير. طيب, what about this one? That's not for us either? طيب, listen, I gotta go now, man, you know. I've been here for half an hour and you're bringing the food for everybody else except us. Don't keep looking because it's an indication that you're, يعني, what is that English word? Huh? No, there's a French word. Gourmand. Gourmand, يعني فجعان. Someone who's, I don't know what it is in English actually. We need to look up this word. Someone who has a huge appetite. Yeah, and he always is looking forward to eat. We have to look up this word. Okay? على كل حال, that's what the Sheikh said. So don't look often from the source of food. It makes you look bad. Inshallah ta'ala, we will continue next time. I will tell you why I said next time in regards to the other etiquettes of ضيافة. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.